And once you find that, I want you to look up here at me. I know that's a hard thing to do sometimes, but you just got to do it. Daniel chapter number 6 is where we're going to be talking about this morning. Now, as you get there, I'll be honest with you. Before we begin to read our text, Daniel is probably my favorite Old Testament person to study. Because every time I study the life of Daniel, it begins to convict me. Because Daniel's devotion to God is something that is unmatched in Scripture. Daniel had a devotion to God like I don't think anybody on planet Earth has today. Daniel was so devoted to God. He served God no matter the cost. He obeyed God no matter the consequences. And this is what's so good. Daniel lived his life for God no matter if anybody else lived their life for God. He said, I'm going to. And you know, one of the reasons why we're naming our little boy Levi Daniel is because my prayer for our son is that he would be like Daniel. Because can I tell you, he's going to grow up in a generation that doesn't want anything to do with God. And my prayer for him is that even if nobody else wants anything to do with God, he does. And he'll live his life for God no matter if his friends, his schoolmates do. If anybody else does, I want him to live his life for the Lord God. And you know, Daniel's devotion to God is no greater illustrated than in Daniel chapter number 6. It is a story that we've heard about since we were in Sunday school. And it's Daniel in the lion's den. And we've all heard it, and what you're saying probably right now is, well, I can tune out. I've heard this before. Hopefully we can find something fresh in our text today. Let's read the first 20-some verses in this, because I want us to get all of it, because there's a reason why it's so good. Daniel 6, verse 1, it says, it pleased Darius, which he's the king now, to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. Over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree. And verse 10 is my favorite verse in this chapter. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that you've signed, but makes his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king, and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king establisheth may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel, and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting, neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And I believe there was a long pause. Then said Daniel, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. Amen. Father, we thank you for this word this morning. We thank you for this powerful testimony that Daniel has that we can study today and we can learn from it. So God, I pray that you would just use this message today to not only encourage us, but God, use us to challenge us to be more like this man. And we thank you so much, and we'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's get right into our points this morning. The first thing that I want you to see is the devil's plot. The devil's plot is found in verses 1 through 9 of our text. Now, you know, as you've studied the book of Job before, Job is probably the first book that was ever written in the Bible. You find some very thought-provoking things, particularly in the first two chapters of the book of Job. And it's this. It's amazing the fact that the devil had the power to mess with Job's family. The devil had the power to mess with Job's marriage. The devil had the power to mess with Job's possessions. And the devil even had power to mess with Job's very well-being and his health. He had the power to do all of those things. And you find the reason behind that is because the devil wanted to get Job to quit on God. The devil wanted to get Job to make him no longer trust in his God. That was the point of messing with Job. He said, if I can mess up all these things, God, he won't trust you anymore. So the devil went and he began to mess with him. Now, when you read the Bible, I don't believe anything has changed today. The devil still has power to mess with our families. The devil still has power to mess with our marriages. The devil still has power to mess with our possessions. And the devil still has power to mess with our very health. But I'm thankful today, although the devil may have some power, God has all power. But he still messes with us, doesn't he, Brother Jimmy? The devil messes with our family. The devil messes with us personally. And the reason and the plot behind all of that is he wants you and I to quit on God. Is he wants you and I to renounce our trust in Almighty God. And you know, in our text today, in a veiled form, the same thing really begins to happen to Daniel. Daniel was carried off to Babylon as just a teenager. He was a teenager and he went off to be slaves to these people in Babylon. And now 70 years have gone by. And that's what's amazing about Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel hitting 20, 30, 40 years old. Daniel is in his 80s when all this happened. Chapter 5 tells us the Persians have now come and taken over the Babylonians. So now Daniel is no longer serving the Babylonians, he's serving the Persians. And verse 1 tells us there is a new king in town, King Darius, over the whole kingdom. Now what he does in verse 2 is he sets up managers. He says, I can't rule this whole kingdom by myself. I need 120 managers to rule it for me, under me. And under those 120 managers, he said, I'm going to put three other managers over them. Three of them. And verse 3 and verse 4 tells us the one that was at the top was Daniel. So in our language today, what this is saying is Darius is the president and Daniel is the vice president. That's what's going on here. Now when he put Daniel as vice president, when he elected Daniel as vice president, you're going to find that it made a lot of people mad. And you can give your opinion on this. What do people do when they don't like people in office? They try to find everything they can in order to impeach them. Amen. Go ahead and say amen right there. They try to find everything they can against that person in order to impeach him. Now, that just didn't start a year ago. That started in Daniel. They did not like Daniel being the vice president. They didn't like Daniel being high up in office. So they used the same tactic they're using now. They said, we got to find something to accuse him of to get him out of office. Amen. History repeats itself, doesn't it? That's what happened here with Daniel. They couldn't stand Daniel. Verse 4 says they sought to find occasion against Daniel because they simply did not like him. Now, here's the question I want to ask. Why didn't they like Daniel? Did Daniel do something to hurt their feelings? No, you won't find that. Did Daniel say something to them in order to make them mad? No. Let me tell you the reason they didn't like Daniel. They did not like Daniel because Daniel was simply highly favored by the king. Yeah. That's the reason they didn't like Daniel. He was highly favored by the king and the king set him in a high place. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but you and I have an enemy who is the devil. And he does not like us. As a matter of fact, he absolutely hates us. So much that the Bible calls him the accuser of the brethren. He wants to find things to accuse us of every single day. And I raised the question to myself this week, why doesn't the devil like me? Why doesn't the devil like us as Christians? It's not because we've said anything that's made him mad. It's not because I've done anything that hurts his feelings. The reason he does not like us is because you and I, as born-again children of God, are highly favored by the King. Amen. We're highly favored by the King of Kings. You know, he used to be in that place where he was highly favored. And he got thrown down. And the reason he hates us is because we're simply highly favored by the Lord God. And you know, because of that, he has a personal vendetta against you and against me. And his goal is to take you out. His goal isn't just to touch you and mess with you for a day. His goal is to absolutely wipe you out and ruin the rest of your life. Now listen, he can't take away your salvation, but he sure can ruin our testimony and ruin our joy. And he does that just about every single day with a lot of people. His main goal is to wipe out us as children of God. To wipe out our families. Have you noticed the attack on families the last few years in America? The family is being attacked. Marriages are being attacked. Our children are being attacked. That's the devil. He's out to ruin our lives. But you know, these people were out to do the exact same thing to Daniel in verse number 4. It says they pretty much came together. And they said, boys, we're going to put eyes on Daniel. We're going to watch him day in and day out. Night in and night out. 24 hours a day. And surely he's going to do something wrong. Surely he's going to mess up. Surely he's going to steal some money. Surely he's going to do something so that we can bring that up against him and we'll get him out. Well, them boys watched him for weeks. And they come back together and they say, hey, y'all find anything against this Daniel? And the Bible says, they couldn't find nothing. They could not find anything that Daniel did wrong. Now, that doesn't mean he wasn't a sinner. That just means when they looked at his life, they said, I can't find anything. Wouldn't that be nice? If people looked at us and said, I can't find anything. That's what they did with Daniel. But then all of a sudden, there's probably a man in the group that says, oh, no, 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 no. I found something. I found something. I don't know if y'all have noticed it, but every time I watch Daniel, he's on his knees praying. Just about every day I see Daniel, he is all by himself on his knees crying out to God. And he said, here's how we get him. Let's make a law. That if you pray for 30 days to any god except this king, you die. And you get thrown into the lion's den. They said, oh yeah, there ain't no way Daniel can stop praying. So he'll do that. He'll get thrown in there. He's done. One of us will be vice president. That's the goal behind it all. Now, that was their goal. You know what the devil's goal behind this was? To get Daniel to quit on God. To get Daniel to stop praying. To get Daniel to quit being so devoted to God. And the same plot is out for you and out for me today. The devil puts everything and anything in our way to stop us from being devoted to God. You've noticed it. You wake up on Sunday morning and every single thing is in the way to keep you from coming to church. You wake up on Monday, you wake up on Tuesday, and every single thing is just so busy, you got so much going on that you just can't pray. He puts so many things in our way to keep us from being devoted to God. That's exactly what his plan is. And I've heard this a lot. Man, I'm just too busy to go to church. Man, I'm just too busy to pray. I'm just too busy to read my Bible. Here's the answer. Get less busy. Amen. That's the answer. Get less busy. Because if you're too busy to go to church, you need to get less busy. If you're too busy to pray, you need to get less busy. Because in the last days in which you and I are living, there is nothing more important than being in the house of God. There's nothing more important than being in prayer to God. There's nothing more important to make sure your relationship with God is right. Nothing is more important than that. But my soul, does the devil put distractions in our way to keep us from the things we need to do? He does. He hadn't made a law yet that says we can't come to church. He's trying to. But he puts simple distractions in our way. You say, like what? How about that phone you got in that app called Facebook? You know Facebook will keep you away from God. Scroll on that thing for 45 minutes and you look down and you say, oh, it's already supper time. Right? That's easy to do. You scroll on that thing because there's so many stupid people on there, so interesting. And you just scroll in and you don't even realize that you've been on it for 3 hours. And those 3 hours you could have been spending with God. Amen. The news. Let me tell you something. I have never turned on the news and watched it for 2 hours and then turned it off and said, boy, I sure am a whole lot happier. I've never got off the couch and said, I'm glad I did that. I am so glad I sat there for 2 hours and watched that mess. I'm so happy I could run. Never. You know what makes me happy? Spending time with God. I've never walked out of the throne of grace being in prayer with Him saying, I'm so mad I spent time with God today. Never. But the devil puts everything in our way to keep us from being with God. And it's little subtle things just like that. He's doing really the same thing here to Daniel. But in a whole lot bigger form. This isn't just a Facebook thing to where you can choose prayer or Facebook. This is a thing to where he's saying, you either choose me or death. That's the choice. Choose me or go into the lion's den. Pretty tough, isn't it? But you're about to find Daniel did not balk. Daniel probably didn't even think about it. He said, that is an easy choice for me. It is God over everything. It's God over everything. Not only the devil's plot, I want you to see Daniel's perseverance today. Daniel's perseverance. They said, let's get this to the king. He's going to sign it. And as he signs it, they can't nobody say a prayer to any god for one whole month. Now, Daniel, of course, is the vice president. The king is sitting here and he's signing this, and Daniel is standing right beside him. Daniel watches him sign it. Daniel knows the consequences if he disobeys. He knows everything. And yet, you're going to see what Daniel did. Now listen, Daniel very well could have saw that and said, okay, 30 days without prayer? Pretty simple. He could have said, I don't have to pray to go to heaven.
Heard that?
I don't have to pray to be a Christian. I don't have to pray to be a follower of God. I can do that for a whole month, whatever. That's not what Daniel did. Daniel did the exact opposite. And that, this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible. The Bible says Daniel got home from work that day. He knew the writing was signed. He got home from work, and when he got home, he went around the house and made sure every single window was open. And when he opened up every window, he got down on his knees and said, just so y'all know. And he began to cry out to God. And he said, there ain't nothing going to stop me from praying. And you know what happened then? Daniel said, amen. Went about his business. About 3 hours later, I need God again. That evening, he said, you know what? I think I need a little bit more God. And he went down and he said, I'm going to pray again. And if you think Daniel got on his knees and said, thank you, God, for this day, help me. Amen. If you think that was the kind of prayer, you're wrong. Daniel cried out to his God. 3 times that day, with the windows open, just so everybody knew he wasn't going to stop praying to his God. Now, why did Daniel do that? Because Daniel realized he needed God that month. 30 days is a whole month. He said, I cannot go 30 days without God. And by the way, we can't even go 1 second without God. We need God not just this month, we need God this day. But I want you to understand this. Daniel not only realized he needed God, do you know what was more? Daniel said, I want God. I want Him. I realize I need Him, but more than that, I want God. And because I want Him, there's not anything going to stop me from praying. Now let me ask you a question. We say we want God. How bad do we want God? Do we want God this bad? Go ahead and shake your head no. We don't want God as bad as Daniel did. I'll speak for myself. I don't want God as bad as Daniel did, and I'll tell you why. If I want something, you know as well as I know, if I want something, I'm not going to stop until I get it. That's how all of us are. When you have a desire for something, you aren't going to stop until you get it. Now let me tell you me. I have a desire mostly every day for a chicken sandwich. Just about every day, come about 5 o'clock, I'm going to send a text and say, I'm hungry for Chick-fil-A. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get in that truck and I'm going to drive 8 minutes from our house to Chick-fil-A. And I do not care what the traffic's like. I do not care if the drive-thru's backed up to heaven. I'm going to sit there until I get my chicken sandwich. Amen. You want to know why? Because I'm hungry for it. I want it, and there ain't nothing going to stop me until I get it. Amen. Now, you see what I mean? Do we want God that bad? Do we want God that bad that we're willing to do anything to get Him? You see, the problem with us is that we don't want God the way people in the Bible wanted God. I think Daniel and David were probably the two men that were more devoted to God than anybody I've ever read. You know what David said? He said, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul for Thee, O God. He said, the deer is running around the woods, running around the wilderness. The only thing that he wants is water. And he's not going to stop until he gets water. He said, that's how I feel about you, God. I am so thirsty for you. I need you. I want you. I'm hungry for you. He said, oh God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. My soul thirsts for the living God. You see, that's the difference between David and Daniel and us. They wanted God so bad that they were so hungry, so thirsty, and so desirous of Him that they would do anything to get more of God. Do you want more of God in your life? Amen. Most of us say yes. That's an easy question. If we want more of God, you know what God says? Come to me. Seek me. And when you seek me with all of your heart, He said, you will find me. It's exactly what He said. If we want more of God, God's given us the formula. Seek Him. Seek Him. He said, and you'll find me. You want more? Come get more. The fountain's wide open. Come get more of me. And you know what you'll find? You'll find that when you begin to seek God, you'll find Him in places you never thought you'd find Him. You know, we expect to find God in the sanctuary. We expect to find God in the temple, in all these places that you meet together for worship. But Daniel did not expect to find God with him in the middle of a lion's den. But you know what? He did. When you seek God, you'll begin to find that He's in places you never thought He ever was. He's right in the middle of it. And that's exactly what Daniel found in my soul. When Daniel began to seek God, you're about to find that Daniel found God. Daniel found Him in a way that hardly nobody has ever found Him before. Because one of the greatest testimonies we ever see in Scripture is Daniel 6, when God showed up in the middle of the lion's den and delivered Daniel. And I'm getting ahead of myself. That's point three. Not only the devil's plot, Daniel's perseverance to say, nothing is going to stop me from getting to God. You're about to see divine protection. And man, I like this part. The Bible says that they took Daniel, verse 16, and they tossed him in the lion's den. Now, you know what's interesting about this? We've talked about Daniel being a giant in the faith all day. He is a giant when it comes to faith. But I want you to know this, Daniel was flesh and blood just like us. Can you imagine? He's saying, God, I'm going to continue to believe You. I trust You, and although my faith's being tested right now, I'm going to keep on. Can you imagine his faith was being tested? But now he's face to face with a lion, a man-eating lion. You want to talk about testing your faith? Now let me tell you this. Daniel is flesh and blood. So I can guarantee you Daniel's heart rate went sky high to the roof because there ain't no man standing before a lion without your heart rate rising high as it's ever been. And Daniel begins to stand there and he begins to contemplate and he says, well, I prayed. God, I prayed. God, You were supposed to deliver me from this. And you know as well as I do, when Daniel was in the lion's den and he sees these lions with their mouth open saying, You're ours. The devil showed up in his ear and said, Daniel, where's God now? Oh, you prayed? God answered real good. And the devil is just having a heyday with Daniel. So where's your God now, Daniel? He wouldn't allow this to happen. Where's He at? And I know he did that because he does the same thing to you and me. He begins to laugh and say, if God was real, it wouldn't be this bad. If God was real, He'd have answered your prayer. And he's laughing. But then all of a sudden, I believe Daniel's countenance just changes. His heart rate slows down. And there comes just a supernatural peace around him. You know why? Because in Daniel's memory bank is a time a few years ago when his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, got thrown into a fiery furnace for obeying God. And remember that story? Nebuchadnezzar said, "Hey, we threw three men in the fire. Why is there four? You want to know why there's four, Nebuchadnezzar? Because God shows up to deliver His people." And Daniel says, "Hold on. God showed up for my friends. God will do the same for me." And I believe Daniel turns his back to them lions and says, "Go on somewhere else. Prayer got me in here, and prayer will get me out of here." And that night, the Bible said the king was all night praying for Daniel. "Daniel, I'm so sorry. I didn't know this was going to happen. I love you, Daniel. I didn't mean for this to happen." And that morning, he runs to the den and he says, "Boy, I sure hope Daniel's not dead. I sure hope he's alive." And he asked Daniel the question. He said, "Is your God able?" "Is your God able, Daniel?" And there's a long silence. And Daniel's probably just waking up. And he said, "Huh?" He said, "Oh yeah, my God is able." And he sent his angel to shut their mouths, and they hadn't even come close to me all night. Can you imagine the rejoicing as Daniel ran out of that den saying, "Hallelujah! God delivered again. God delivered again." You know, in this world we're living in, we are in the lion's den. The devil is a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. But I am thankful today God has the power to shut his mouth too. God is a deliverer of his people. I'm here to remind you today, they may be all around you. They may be surrounding you and you don't see a way out. I'm here to remind you that that situation, that problem, it might be real big. But I serve a God that's a whole lot bigger. Let me tell you this and I'm done. Charles Stanley, you know, I bring him up all the time. He tells the story of when he was just a young pastor in Atlanta. He was going through great turmoil, great problems in his church. And he said one day while he was in his office, a little old lady walks in. Says, "Charles, I got something for you. I got something I want to give you as a gift." And it was this painting right here. A painting from, I think, the 1600s of a man who painted Daniel in the lion's den. She said, "I want to give this to you, Mr. Charles." She said, "But I want to ask you something. What do you notice about this picture?" He said, "Well, it's Daniel in the lion's den. I've preached on that before." She says, No. "What do you notice about this picture?" "I don't know. You're going to have to tell me." She said, "Charles, I want you to look where Daniel's eyes are. Daniel's eyes aren't on the lions. Daniel's eyes are on God." And he said, when that little old lady said that, God showed up in his conscience and said, "Get your eyes off of the trouble and put your eyes on the God who delivers you from all trouble." And today I invite you to do the exact same thing. Get your eyes off of those lions that are surrounding you. Yeah, they're big. Yeah, they're scary. And yeah, you don't know what they're going to do. I've got a God that is so much bigger and stronger than those lions. And the same God that delivered Daniel, we can have faith today. He's the same God that will deliver you and I. Musicians, you can come. Father, thank You for this Word this morning. God, thank You that although we go through great trouble, great trial, great turmoil in our lives, Lord, You're there with us. And You've showed us throughout history, throughout the Word of God, that You never leave Your people. No matter where we are, no matter where we're standing, no matter what troubles surround us, You never leave us. And God, when it looks impossible, You are a God who makes all things possible. So Father, I pray for anybody today that feels like they're going through this trouble and this trial right now, and it's just about impossible. I pray, God, that You'll show them that they can have faith in You. You're stronger, You're bigger, You're better than whatever they're facing. God, thank You for Your testimony. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would also